Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
This
episode of the show is brought to you by the Marvel series Moon Knight. They're not sponsoring us or anything, but I did actually watch some of it recently. Last night, actually, while I was making the boys' lunches. And it is the first Marvel thing that I've ever watched that hasn't made me feel terrible. So.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Oscar Isaac, who's playing the lead character, is just doing like a genuinely quite like human, silly, funny character and performance. And I found it very compelling. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy quite a bit of Marvel stuff on one level, but then it is like eating like really unhealthy food where you go, oh, God, what am I doing to my body? But this one, you know, left me feeling energized and rejuvenated and youthful. So,
does he have a love interest?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
Is it Q from James Bond?
Have you seen the show? It's the corpse of Desmond Llewellyn, which I found to be very, very interesting, you know, as a choice for Marvel to make, to have not only a gay love interest, but to have it be a sort of a necrophilic one with a very dead old man. It was like, yes.
But maybe that's where you found the humor came from for you, because
that was played very sweetly. That wasn't played for laughs.
I suppose
at
you
all.
Don't want the humor to come from a sort of a I guess what you would consider a non-traditional relationship.
Exactly. We don't need to. We've seen that parodied. You know, those jokes are old.
I can't wait to see the spin-off where it is just Q's corpse.
They were setting that up. It was a little on the nose, a bit obvious.
Yeah, but what would you? Because like, I mean, I suppose they probably, you know, the Marvel universe is looking for different formats. You know, it keeps moving into different things. You know, some comedy, some TV shows, some movies. I think they're doing comic books now as well.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so if they did like a 24-hour live stream of just like the rotting corpse of if they like, you know, they integrate different things. Yeah. So I think they, you know, at different points they've probably done things like that. And so if they just were to integrate something that is actually from the real world and they can just film it at 24 hours a day, that would allow them to get into Twitch or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised either if that was the next thing announced by Marvel. Well, they're so hungry for content, you know. It's a juggernaut. It's an absolute juggernaut. Yeah. Alistair, this episode is also brought to you by my book, Gustav and Henry. They haven't been selling enough copies, apparently. I guess this is me begging you to buy a copy for a young reader in your life. I mean, like in quite a pathetic way, if that makes sense. Like I'm desperate. Yeah. I'm kind of wetting my pants a little bit, you know, kind of like really like groveling.
When you say wetting your pants, are you saying W-E-T-T or W-E-D-D?
Both. Yeah.
Wetting
W-E-T-D. So that's a kind of a wetting that is also a wedding.
Oh, yes. Well, the like the urine is sort of the celebrant.
The urine is the celebrant in the piss myself that is the wedding of my pants.
Yeah, wedding of your pants. Yeah.
Anyway, Gustav and Henry, I think it's very good, and there's another.
Yeah, I also think it's very good.
Thank you, Alistair.
They got them need to get their hands on it and eyeballs in it.
Now, apparently, if you try and buy it on Booktopia or Amazon, they might be sold out. But that's only because Amazon only took a stock list of 2 copies. So it makes 2? Us look a lot more successful than we are.
How could they even order 2 copies? Did somebody just hand them 2 copies?
Yeah, they dropped it off into Jeff Bezos's Booktopia? But if you look a little bit further, you can find an independent bookseller or even like Big W or Kmart or some shit. They've got it.
But if you can, find an independent Big W. Sort of a mom and pop Big W, if you can, just because it's, you know, we want to support these people.
Now, is that something we talked about on the podcast once? We're talking about, I'm going to open a Woolworths.
That's fun, but a mom and pop Woolworths.
A mom and pop Woolworths? I guess Futurama already did Mum's Robots or whatever it was, and it was like a home style thing. But what else?
If it was like something like a Bunnings or an airport.
It's a mom and pop airport. That's really nice. So Dad, Pop is up there in the air traffic control thing, right? Directing all the planes in his folksy style. And like he's telling the kids to back out of, the Holden. And Mom, what's Mom doing? Well,
she'd be taking tickets and doing security.
Yeah, okay. That's really nice. Yep.
All right, come into this back room with me. All right.
That's
when she's putting on a glove.
Oh, is she? Yeah, right. Yeah. What's she going to do with it?
Oh, she's going
to... Is it an oven mitt?
Rummage through the anus. I mean, how deep do they go into the anus? Do they just put their finger in there?
That's the thing. I don't think they're going that deep. Yeah. I don't think they really want it.
Yeah. So, because like that's, yeah. I never really thought deeply about this. So when they kind of like, you're going to have to come into the anus, are they putting 2 fingers in and pulling your anus apart and then looking in there with a little small flashlight? Are they putting one of those sort of glass? One of those glass like butt plugs so that they can look through. It has like a telescopic lens so that they can see all the way to the other end.
Yeah.
Maybe like one with a light.
There must be butt plugs that have cameras in them, right? That must be a sex thing for some people.
Do they ever put like one of those little wires, like one of those wires with a camera on it that you swallow but with your butt?
You know,
and then go in there and look around, see if there's any baggies.
Here's a couple of options. They could train some kind of a worm to go up there, right?
With a camera or just one that can come and communicate with you and give a nod if there's yes.
It comes back and communicates. It forms the shape of letters with its body.
It spells out the drug.
Hang on. Wait, I've lost what I was going to say. Fuck. Come back thought.
Where did you lose?
What do we do? We're going. Fuck! This is not good content. But I really, really wanted to say the thing that I thought. Here it is. Okay, this is what it is. It's a sort of one of those stories of man versus machine, right? Like the famous folk song Joe Henry, which is about Joe Henry, who's a man who drives rail spikes with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And how the the line boss brings down this sort of steam drill machine.
Yeah.
And it's a song about how John Henry hammers 13 rail spikes to the steam drill machine's 1, right? It's that, right? But for inspecting people's buttholes at the airport. So he's the last guy who still does it with his hand. Right, just with his fingers, and he's able to detect, you know, the presence of stuff. And he's up against a sort of a someone who's using cameras and ultrasound and that kind of thing.
Or just a machine, like one of those like bomb diffusing machines that is made for looking in your butt for finding drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, it's the heartwarming story of how he's able to best this machine, even though his job is about to be replaced. And what's great about it is that the entire process for the people who are being examined in that way is very dehumanizing. But John Henry is able to keep his humanity.
He is a very beautiful bedside manner.
Yeah.
Or a sort of plastic seat side manner. Okay, so wait, what's that guy called again in the store?
John Henry. The John Henry of cavity searches is what it is.
Airport cavity searches.
I mean,
Andy, while you were at the beginning of your saying your thing, while you're figuring it out, I wrote down a sketch which is just a classic. This is a classic TV sketch.
Great.
Right? So it's an airport security based one. Airport security says, you know, they're going through their bag and you know, they find this, they go, I don't know, you know, maybe they find some food and you go, you're not allowed to bring this in here. You know, things like that. And then, do you have anything else on your person? They go, no. And then, they throw away all the stuff they found and they go, okay. And they put on some rubber gloves and then you go, okay, you're going to have to come into a back room with us. Takes you into the back room and then he makes him a submarine sandwich.
and then he does a cavity search. Right at the end.
I suppose he could while he's eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you eat this while I do. Okay, now you eat this while I do a cavity search.
Yeah, that's a real both ends, isn't it?
It's a real what?
Both ends. He's doing you both ends. You got
he's absolutely
sub going
he's
in the mouth.
He's absolutely spit roasting you. with a sandwich in one mouth and a hand in the other mouth, the butt's mouth.
Oh. This is good. It's another ceramics class classic.
Oh yeah.
Let's release a CD, which is just the ceramics class classics. Something that you can take along to your ceramics class and pop it in the CD player there.
And, I suppose we could probably just do a CD where it's like one that you actually could play in a ceramics class. Because I feel if you call it a ceramics class classic, people are going to want to play it to their ceramics classes.
Yeah, and then they'll realize that's the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose I do also like that, you know, the confusion of that. Mm. It's almost humorous, almost maybe exactly what you were intending.
Well, it could have been, you know, I wouldn't rule it out at this point.
But I do worry that you could be getting credit here for something that you didn't actually intend.
Yeah. Better to withhold the judgment of humor. You know, I'd rather see 1,000 funny men be received by silence than see a single unfunny man get a laugh. You know,
that's right.
That's justice to me.
I think that's fair.
Mm.
I think that's fair. Do you think we should ever clip things up and put them online? You know,
I think that would be really good. I think that's exact. Like if we had the vaguest intention of making this show successful, we'd be doing that kind of stuff. Because, you know, sometimes we do say funny things and sometimes we get them out quite succinctly. You know, they'd fit in a clip. Not always, but that's the point of the clip. That's why you clip it. You clip the good ones.
Yeah, I know. Gosh,
we could clip the bad bits.
You don't clip the bad bits? Okay, well, see, already this I'm learning a lot.
You don't put together a lowlights package.
But we could.
We could.
I mean, maybe if we hired someone.
I think a lowlights package is interesting. You know, maybe at the end of a football season or something. They always need more content, right? Yeah. They need things to throw to. A little lowlights package.
We've cut out all the best bits from the game, and we've taken them out so that you can watch the rest.
That's what cutting them out means. We've cut them out. We're throwing them away permanently as well. Wasn't easy to get rid of them, but they're gone. Yeah,
it's just the perfect format because some people do love to watch the best bits and some people don't want to watch the whole game.
Mm.
And so it's perfect for those people to just watch the low lights.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sometimes if you're watching all the boring bits, then you'll be even more surprised by the amazing result at the end of the game.
Mm.
You go, oh, how could such a great result have come from such a terribly dry football match?
Yeah, well, then what's good about that is it leaves so much up to the imagination. You know, it lets it happen in the mind of the sports fan.
Ah, yes.
You know, it rewards the those with the ability to imagine all the exciting things that could have happened. Because once you've seen the highlights, this is the thing as well. Once you've seen the highlights of a season, you know that that's as good as it gets. But if you, you know, there's a hard ceiling on that. They've been like, this is it. This is as good as it is possible for this sport to be, right?
Yeah.
But if you just watch the lowlights package, how good the sport could be is limited only by your imagination.
That's
right.
It
could be infinitely good.
There should be a kind of like a, you know, like a, what are those oatmeal religious people? Quakers. it should be the Quaker, like a Quaker style for true football fans, like where they go and sit in a room for 90 minutes quietly in silence and they imagine the game that would happen this week.
Mm.
And they, you know, because if you're a real fan, you'll know every player and you'll know all the decisions that they could be making. So you start with the kickoff. You probably even know all the rules of the sport and stuff like that. So you see, you can picture the kickoff and then, you know, you can just watch the whole game happen. And then potentially
mind,
you could.
Right? Unfolds in your
then,
mind.
And then potentially and, you know, they could.
You're watching these people in this room and you're seeing them occasionally jump up with their hands in the air cheering, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cheering. What's that? Yeah, you go, yay, you beauty!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, all that kind of stuff. And then abusing the judge or the referee.
Potentially you could be drinking beer and having snacks and stuff like that as well.
Oh, of course. Of course. Or maybe you're just imagining those as well.
Oh, yeah. That could be good, but we're trying to convince people to do this. You know, you say,
that would be a good ad, right, for something. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it's an ad for. But, you know, one of those things where you're like, you treat the it's footage of a football game or something, but you have the commentary and the setup is that you're treating the person getting back to their seat with their snacks or something like it's the game. You know, that kind of shit, right? So, you know, he's going to get the snacks. He's coming back.
Yeah,
he's
almost there was an ad like that, I think.
Well, there you go, see?
Yeah. And then he's got it. You know, he's grabbed a beer or something like that. He's grabbed some nachos or something.
I'm sorry,
like that.
It's so...
You'd make a great ad guy.
I would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to say it.
Thanks, man.
If I'm going to lose you to anything, Andy, I hope it's ads.
You're never going to lose me. You're stuck with me.
Okay. Look, I'll just write down something to do with the imagining the game.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You could have because each season of any sporting code sort of consists of two things, right? It consists of the set of things that did happen, and then the set of things that didn't happen. And you know, the set of things that didn't happen is a negative space that exists and is just as real as, say, a shadow, right?
Sure.
And, you know, you can still get a lot of entertainment from a shadow, can't you? You know, you go to one of those shadow puppetry things, right? And so I think that, you know, reporting on the things that didn't happen in the sporting week,
Well, and there's so many more people visualizing it. So then there's so many more matches to. But also then you get to, then there can also be the real match.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
for the real fan, then you get two matches a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you might get reports on other people's visualization matches. Oh, and maybe you can gamble on it, on somebody else's visualization match.
Alistair, before we started the podcast, you were making fun of me, which is how we like to start every podcast. He's very mean to me off pod. He really talks me down.
Well, but, it's because we're recording this episode. I got to go to Sydney yesterday to be on a TV show that Andy helped me get on to. And then while I was there, I left my laptop charger there. Mm. And so I'm running on the battery power of my laptop right now. That is just, we got 55% left. And 53, pardon me. And so, you know, we don't have time. And so Andy was like, do I have time to make a cup of tea? I was like, well, we've got limited battery time. And so it's up to you. You know, that is obviously a great hint to let's get this fucking show on the road. And then Andy's like, no. And then he started boiling water. And so he started boiling water on a stovetop, just like medieval style. And then I was attempting to make fun of him because, as you know, Andy lives in a rural area now. He's decided to choose the non-civilized lifestyle, and so he had to go find some kindling and things like that.
I turned my back on the civilization,
on the hustle and bustle, and so then, and then Andy, you know, had to go and find a guy who sells flint, so that he had to trade some wild mushrooms in exchange for flint there, because the guy loves to, you know, have introspective, hallucinogenic experiences in exchange for, you know, whatever he can scrabble out of this mine, that this kind of quarry that he lives in.
Exactly. Now, Alistair, and I was wondering if, you know, I know you didn't intend any of that to be funny at the time. It was just meant to be genuinely hurtful, what you were saying. But I am able to, like, see through that and see that there is also some comic potential in an idea like that. And, I mean, is it as simple as sort of a sketch set in the distant past where people are having quite a normal conversation, somebody comes over to their house, right, or hut, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, then they talk in perfectly normal modern English. I think this is part of the potential humor of it. They talk normally about, you know, things, current things, or talk, and in a current way, right, and somebody is just offering to put on the kettle. Shall I pop the kettle on, right? And then we see the process of popping the kettle on as being this long, laborious thing that they have to do, right? This will be a real highlight of the sketch, I can tell you already. This
laborious thing. I can't wait.
I can already hear people tuning in to this.
But people will be like, well, these people are talking normal. So that's exciting already.
Yeah. Now, and then, you know.
He's chopping wood, trying to find dry kindling under some pine trees.
Yeah. You know, and maybe they're keeping the conversation going or something while this whole thing is happening. Oh,
talking's still completely normal.
Yeah. Yeah. People are going to love that bit. And then maybe this story doesn't really fit within a traditional sketch, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. It might be more like of a feature-length sketch. But the whole story, it is a feature film, I think, but the whole story is this person just trying to make a cup of tea. It's bookended by the conversation where the people pop by the hut and they, you know, welcome them in and offer to make the cup of tea. And then there's the long story of them getting all the pieces and making it happen. And then at the very end, it's them coming back with the cup of tea and then saying milk, right, like that. And that's how we set it up for the sequel, because we know that the sequel is going to be them getting the milk.
Go exchange some magic beans for a fucking cow. And
yeah.
Because not enough of the stories have been made about the guy who had the magic beans and wanted a cow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. You're right. What's with that guy?
Can't wait to get rid of magic beans. Where are you growing these fucking beanstalks?
Because really,
like harvesting beanstalks for their beans.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, Jack and the Beanstalk? Because it really sets Jack up to look like a fucking idiot, right? Because he basically, I feel like the premise at the start is like Jack falls for this scam, basically.
Yeah.
Like he's really dumb. And yeah. then it turns out that the magic beans are really magic beans. Now, yeah, so what are we supposed to take from
yeah,
that?
Is the guy subtext who, is, yeah, is, sorry, you finish your sentence.
Well, no, I mean, I wonder, is the guy who gives the beans to Jack, is that Jesus, do you think, maybe?
Well, but why is Jesus sending you to a murderous giant? You know, like,
yeah.
like so.
Yeah, well,
I think
you know, mysterious ways.
Because like, the message almost is, do fall for scams because sometimes they aren't too good to be true.
Mm. Fall for very obvious scams.
Like, yeah.
But then you're right that like even it wasn't really too good to be true because along the way there were many points at which Jack could have died very easily. So, I mean, ultimately, it is a miracle that he survived, but that was by no means the most certain outcome, right? Still feels like it could have turned very bad, even though the beans were really magic.
Yeah, but the beans also aren't necessarily related to the giant, right? Like, did it just so happen that he just... Like the guy who had the magic beans, which might not be magic. It seems like they just grow a very large plant.
Yeah, I mean, there could be magic behind that.
Yeah, but it also just seemed like, I mean, the one reading of it could be that it just happened that he grew his big plant under the space where the giant happens to live.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that. You're right. That is unrelated.
Yeah, that seems so. Like the magic, the fact that the guy sold the magic beans, he wasn't like, this will take it to a giant.
Mm.
I think he was just like, oh no, this will make a crazy big stalk of beans, and then you'll have access to lots of beans. Beans.
I mean, this will give you real fucked up beans.
Like, you know how farming involves growing many, many plants, and that's a huge pain in the ass. You need a lot of land. Well, this is basically the skyscraper of plants. You can grow one, and then you'll have so many beans that you just, like, you won't, you could just spend all day harvesting, and you still will just have endless beans, and your family will no longer have to experience poverty because you can just sell beans.
What's
and you can
interesting
swap
about
it for, like, cows
that,
and stuff like that if you need, like, protein sometimes.
We know that the beans themselves are just normal-sized beans. So this enormous bean plant, right, grows regular-sized beans.
That's right. Well, very, very perfect for human consumption beans.
Yeah, but they're going to be difficult to harvest, right, because they're so high up in the sky. And also we don't know what effect these beans have on the human body if you eat them.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, I guess we don't know that. And they might be some of those beans that you need to, like, soak before you eat them. So it's like, what the fuck? Forget that.
Fuck that.
Yeah. But maybe maybe you got to dry out beans before they do that. I'm not sure. But, yeah, so that's all possible. We don't know. And so maybe... And maybe that's the problem, that this guy had a big plant that had these magic bit that, you know, that created these beans that you can only, that only really allows you to grow more vines like that, the bean stalks. But then he's like, shit, this is crazy because you can't eat these. These are not in any way valuable. So I've just got to like try and swap them for cows.
Yeah, that's best option.
My best option is to see if I can trick some kids to give him the cows in exchange for these beans. But the thing is,
the beans genuinely are magic.
Well,
the beans are magic, but not a useful kind of magic.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that would be the problem with any kind of magic, is that there's still limitations to it, right? So, like, even if you can turn invisible, it doesn't make the rest of your life unbelievably good.
Mm.
You know, there's still just, like, it's just another parameter in the universe. So it's like, you don't have endless magic where you can just, like, you know, make gold appear out of anywhere and, you know, force people to love you and things like that. It's still just like, you just, oh, this is the limited magic of this thing, right? And also, we don't know what the effects are of having a beanstalk like that, like, pull
right next to your house,
right next to your house, but also pull all of that, because all that matter that goes into the beanstalk comes from the air. It's like it pulls all that carbon dioxide out of the air, right? Like to make the plant. So that really quickly changes the composition of the atmosphere around you.
What we do know is that beans are a nitrogen fixing plant, which means that they're good for converting re-nitrogenizing the soil. So after growing those beans, he's going to be able to grow tomatoes or something like that.
Well, that'll really be I guess that's soil. That's the one benefit of this magic. And I suppose you could probably sell these beanstalks maybe as lumber to, like, you know, to at least burning, like, for firewood or something like that.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how it looks after it dries out, you know.
Yeah, what bean lumber is like as a building material or as a fuel source.
How does it burn, you know? How does it, you know, just even just biomass. I think that, you know, you could burn biomass. And when it dries out, maybe you can feed it to cattle.
But that's
probably why he's trying to get a cow.
Isn't it? I think also when he trades the beans, the guy he trades the beans to never specifies what kind of magic the beans are. He literally just says they're magic beans, right?
Or what kind of beans?
Yeah.
He goes, like, these are magic beans. You go, like, what are we talking? Like, black bean or these kidney pinto? Or, like, are these, pinto? Are these,
do you consider the chickpea lima? To be a bean? Yeah. Where do you draw the line? Do you consider the chickpea to be a bean? What for you is the difference between a pea and a bean?
Like, is it really a bean, or is it you just telling me it's just a general legume?
Mm.
Anyway,
is there something in that?
Yeah. What's his deal? I'm just like, but also the coincidence that it does end up, like, that in this world that there are just giants that live on clouds, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a few different little coincidences happen. Anyway, the guy, that Jack's got a lot of luck.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we don't know that those things are unrelated, right? Like, a lot of the time you look at things in nature and you think, wow, what are the chances that this and this? But we don't know that there isn't some sort of symbiotic or evolutionary history that explains the fact that magic beans are real and grow really big and giants live in the sky.
I guess,
you know,
could be connected.
They could be connected. Yeah.
Well, maybe the giants, you know, kind of like tigers, were just wiped off of the earth because they were too big of a threat. You know, they end up in villages and they start fucking eating people and shit like that, especially if they love grinding up people's bones and making bread. You go, there's other, I mean, especially I love that they're taking advantage of every part of the human. I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, although he might be discarding all the flesh and stuff like that, and he's just like, I just want those bones. Does seem like a laborious process of having to dry out bones so that it can be turned to flour. I do love the idea of a bone bread.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, would be dense. Picture it'd be dense and gritty.
It'll be a heavy bread, yeah.
Mm.
You think it'd be gritty? Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends how good your mill is, your bone mill.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, so then they've climbed these beanstalks to go up onto clouds, and they've realized they can go up there and not be murdered by lots of people with. Because did he die? Oh no, he just died when he fell from the beanstalk after he cut it down.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. After.
Well, we don't even know if he died. We just know that he...
I think he fell. I think he might have left a huge hole in the ground. Or maybe that was just in the cartoon that I saw.
Yeah.
Maybe he was a corpse and then lying there on the ground, and then all the villagers could kind of crawl all over him and eat his flesh. I don't think it's cannibalism if you eat a giant.
If it's a giant, yeah. I think if somebody's over 6 foot six, then you can eat their flesh and it's not cannibalism.
Yeah.
You know, and plus a lot of biologists, they can't agree on what a species is. So.
Yeah, it's not, you know, there are no clear lines in the sand. No. In that regard.
Unless a giant has fallen there and then you just see their outline.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Well, I've written all this down, some aspects of it. Also, just before, while we were talking about football, this is nothing really, but I pictured, imagine it's a football game, but it's done where the midpoint of the field is the top of a sand dune.
Ooh.
Right? And then either side is just falling away like that. And so I just think that would really change the sport for a bit. I mean,
not just the hill element, but the sand element would be incredible. I think that's such a great idea. I think FIFA should, you know, like in
Oh, you're picturing tennis. It's soccer. I was picturing like rugby or something like that. But I think that's the only reason. Yeah, go hit me.
I was just saying, you know, I like how in tennis they play on different surfaces, and I think they should bring that into the, you know, the football world, and maybe different leagues or different countries play on different surfaces. And, you know, so obviously, you know, some are played on gravel, which should just be horrible. You know, the ones that are played on sand or mud, I'm really intrigued by.
I do love the idea of a soccer field like that is on a field that constantly kind of rotates its tilt.
Great.
You know, it could be relatively slowly, but like it just kind of constantly shifts its tilt
randomly.
So one team always kind of has an advantage in terms of like the tilt is towards you, but it doesn't last very long.
Or what about this? The audience. There's a new, they introduce a new thing where there's one guy who's called the king of football, right?
Yeah.
And he sits in a big chair, right? And, you know, and he's got a lever and the audience shouts, tilt the field, tilt the field. And when they shout loud enough, he'll push the lever and tilt the field.
Oh, that's good. So then the audience becomes a player in the game.
Exactly. Yeah, and everyone's so excited they cheer whenever he tilts it, and all the players fall over and start sliding down.
And he has a earthquake button that just makes it shake really violently.
Yeah,
like that, and then
the king
fall.
Stands up and puts his hands in the air, and everyone cheers for the king. They don't even notice the players really.
Yeah,
they just get so excited when he tilts the field.
Sometimes he can make it just go up and down very fast, so they all kind of get airborne momentarily.
Jiggle.
No, not jiggle. Like, they get launched. Like, it's almost like, you know, a small catapult kind of effect. Like, it just pushes up and then comes down.
Yeah, you know? No, I understand. It's sort of like you might do with onions if you're frying onions.
I guess so.
Yeah, sauté.
I guess so.
The saute rule in football, soccer.
Has a lever. All right. And Andy, we have five sketches.
We have five sketch ideas. Yes.
We do, Andy. And we got, it says here 56 minutes, but we're down to 39%. It feels like we're losing energy fast. Anyway, now, Andy, we've got listeners, and some of them can give us three words from a listener by subscribing to our Patreon. And a person who has done this is a person known as Stuart McCone.
Stu Mac.
Stu Mac. And Stu, you might know as the contender. You know, he's
he's pushing he's the hard. Guy.
Yeah, he's you know, he would love to be on this show, and he's going to be one day. You know, even some of his colleagues have from his podcast have been trying to, you know, convince me to you know, let them on first, just as a real burn to Stu.
Oh, that's really exciting. I love that idea.
The podcast is Pointless Reinvention.
Yeah, very funny podcast.
Yeah, but here we are, you know, and if they what they don't realize is that it's our inability to organize
anything.
So anyway, Stu's, that's, you know, some backstory on this listener. So now here we are to the words. Andy, do you want to try to guess the first word?
Yeah, okay. So the first word is pebble.
No, Andy, no. The first word is evasive.
Okay, second word is lance.
Oh, Andy, you got the first two letters right. But it's lady. Evasive. Unfortunately, it wasn't a two-letter word. Evasive lady. Lady.
Evasive lady.
And you're never going to guess this last word.
Is it Venus flytrap? All hyphenated?
No, it's Andy.
Evasive lady Andy.
Yeah. You know, I'm, for some reason, I'm picturing you in, like, this is not the sketch, but for some reason, it makes me picture you in a dress in the middle of, like, a Coliseum type field or, like, a kind of thing.
Oh.
And there's people riding motorcycles at you, and you're trying to avoid them like a matador. There could be sort of like a, like, is it a bullfighting, motorbike rider fighting?
Hmm, sure. And I'm ducking and weaving there in my ball gown.
Yeah, that's right. And you wear a ball gown.
Mm.
And I mean, this is entertaining because then you're, and maybe, and you're not allowed to use swords like they do in the Matador stuff, but you can use bludgeoning weapons.
Yeah, no, that is, you know? That is fun. What is there anything problematic about the fact that I'm dressed as a lady here while these people sort of drive at me with their motorbikes? Like,
well,
is
they
that...
can be dressed in dresses as well. I don't see clothes as being sort of as being really all that gendered. I don't think.
Okay, great. They're also in dresses. That's good.
Yeah.
And also, the people can be women. They could.
You're
be.
Just picturing men riding those motorbikes, aren't you, Andy?
Yeah. That's
God,
true. Okay.
Andy. Andy, you're being, you know, you're just really letting all your biases show right on the air.
Okay.
And people are going to troll through this when you run for politics one day.
And
they're
going to
be like, oh, Andy
morning.
Assumed everybody riding the motorbikes that we're trying to run him over in this matador style thing. We're men. Gosh.
That's I'm the secret. Gonna... That's the secret to saying prejudiced things. You have to make them so... complicated to explain the context of that I could never be taken down in a tweet. There's so much backstory to that I'll actually be able to get off scot-free.
Yeah.
The lady version of scot-free.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'll be able to get off without a scot or the female version of a person called Scott.
Mm. Just saying the word ball gown earlier made me think of a podcast that we did probably 110 episodes ago where talking about
a little dress for your testicles.
A little dress for your testicles. And I realized that at the time, obviously, we should have called that a ball gown, and we never did. So I'd like to apologize, and I'd like to correct the permanent record.
Did we ever
record.
Come up with this thing where it's a little dress for your testicles?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Because, I mean, it does feel perfect, like, even if it's just a kilt for your testicles.
That's exactly what we came up with, Alistair. Yeah. But now it's got to be called a ball gown. And we were talking about whether or not it goes all the way down to the ground or or just as far as it needs to go. You know, additionally, it could have a little slit up the side to sort of reveal cheekily the side ball, a bit of side
ball. Yeah, a little bit of skin can poke through or, like, a little just some hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what's in there.
Mm.
Like that? I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I guess you could have a two-piece so that there's also something to cover the penis in some way.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose. Or it could just have like a little bra that can go on the shaft.
Okay. To support
like
it?
Like a little kind of like a bikini top.
I think it would need to be something that just sits over the head of the penis.
A corset for the penis.
Mm. Oh,
that
okay.
kind of stretches it out and makes
it's
it look
slimming?
Thinner. Eh?
Yeah.
Makes it look thinner but longer.
uh,
I'm just going to write, I know this is nothing, but I'm going to write down motorbike matador.
Yeah, no, of course. I think that's something. I don't think I would stand a chance if they were dirt bikes, but if they were those sort of big touring, like, you know, those huge BMW ones that are like as wide as a car.
Well, there'll be lots of different types.
Oh, then I'm fucked.
The thing is that they can go really fast, Andy.
Yeah, I know, but they're not going to be as maneuverable, so I'm going to be able to get out of their way, I think.
Yeah, but think about like a motorbike going like 150 kilometers an hour.
Well, they're not going to be able to do that in the arena, are they?
Why not?
Because they'll crash in on the other side. They don't have the space to get up to speed.
It's a small price to pay.
Okay, they're willing to do it. Kamikaze style.
And so now are we just going to write down ball gown as well, even just to add?
Look, let's write it down because we had a good time with it.
Yeah, I'll just write down ball gown and penis corset.
Great. A penis corset. A penis corset is by itself a funny idea. You know, and you're there on your wedding night. Your best man is tightening up your penis corset, yanking the strands on the penis corset. You're
lacing it up.
Gasping. Yeah.
Lacing it up like your first pair of Jordan Airs.
Jordan Air.
Jordan Air.
Oh, who wants to be a Jordan Air?
It's Air Jordans. That's what it is. Jordan Air. Jordan Air sounds like that Canadian fuck. It's just Jordan Peterson. Sorry. Don't forget it. Michael Jordan Peterson.
No. I mean, no, I take it back. After we had Charlton Heston Blumenthal, Michael Jordan Peterson is a very funny idea.
Michael Air Jordan Peterson.
No.
Air Jordan Peterson.
Okay. Alistair, take us through the sketches that we've done so far.
All right. We got the mom and pop airport.
Yes.
Then we got the airport security puts on gloves and takes you to the back room and makes you a submarine sandwich. And then fists you while you eat it. Because, I mean, that's what they imply, right? With those gloves things, that I'm going to have my full hand inside your anus. Not like I'm going to put one finger in. But they probably just put one finger in, don't they?
They're definitely not putting the whole hand in there.
Yeah. John Henry of airport cavity searches. Then we got the real fans visualizing matches sitting with Quaker style silence.
That's a great sketch idea. God, that's good.
Oh, I should have written down your one where two people talk normally and then they go through the long process of making a cup of tea.
Yes, you should have written that down.
All right. Okay, wait. I'll just write it down now. I'll put it right after two. Two people talk normal.
Thank you for including the detail that they talk normal.
Then go through.
Oh, I mean, look, just listening to you go through the long process of writing this down has made me start to doubt
making
that people will have the patience to watch this sketch, because I do not have the patience to listen to
you.
Oh, God. I'm going to kill myself.
Guy who sells magic beans in exchange for cow. What's his deal? Yeah, we kind of go into a lot of that stuff that we were talking about.
I think you should talk about that on stage. I think that's funny. I mean, I realize that deconstructing fairy tales is not exactly, you know, groundbreaking, but I think it's funny.
Yeah, I'm with you. Then we got Tilt the Field. That's the people yelling that. Soccer King has a lever. That's the Tilt the Field Soccer King has a lever.
Yeah. Okay, it's a controversial new rule that FIFA has introduced. But everybody loves it.
Oh, everybody loves it. And the audience gets to play a part. Then we got Motorbike Matador in dresses. And then we got Ball Gown and Penis Corset. So,
thanks everybody for listening to In the Think Tank. We like that you did that to us and of and it and to. And, you know, you can find us in all the usual places. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at Alistair TB. We are at 2inTank. Gosh, we're active on that that account at the moment. You can support us on Patreon. We've had some people join the Discord recently. It's a good place to be. We have sporadic chats. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. And then, but also, there's a lot of whale stuff. If you love whales, you're being silly by not being in there.
Yes. And by Gustav and Henry from an independent big W near you.
Yeah.
And we love
you. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.